Today, before I pray, I want you to breathe. Breathe in and out. Some of us need one more of them. So if you're one of me like me, let's do another one. All right. I want you to feel satisfied today for just a moment of your life. I want you for the next bit of time, and I'm going to probably stretch this a little bit more than I usually do today. I really want you from this point on to take in a moment and be satisfied in your life. You're on this side of the dirt. Yeah, we lost a lot of folks this year. Not necessarily in our congregation, but we lost some, right? I want us to be satisfied. I want to stroll through the palace of your life a little bit and take in his goodness a little bit today. Right? So, Father, I pray this morning that your word would feed us like goodness. Lord, we wouldn't notice how long Pastor keeps us today. We would be like sheep just chomping on the grass, enjoying the view, nestled up next to a sheep near us, you know, just chewing the fat together and enjoying a moment. We know how quickly all hell breaks loose out there. So wherever hell's breaking loose in people's hearts and minds, I pray you'd shatter it in Jesus' name. Give them an open heaven today. And let them sit here in a good pasture for a moment. And I pray you help me be a good pastor in the moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a little scripture verse that is not on there, so don't freak out right away. Instantly stresses them. Don't. It's not on there. It's not you. It's me. You know. Proverbs 3:11 says this, "My son, do not reject or take lightly the discipline of the Lord. Learn from your mistakes and the testing that comes from his correction through discipline, nor despise his rebuke. Learn from his lessons of the past in you." Isn't that important? Like learning those lessons. There's one thing, there's certain tests I never want to take again, both spiritually, metaphysically, metaphorically, or back in math. I never want to take them again. I passed that. I never, ever want to be going, no, don't make me do anything with certain math things. I'll dig my heels in. I'll let you punch me in the face before I do that problem. You know? But I want to learn from some of those things that I needed. Some of those things I needed to have lessons in my life, and I needed to learn. I do have this scripture, James 1:12. "Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God, is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test," they pass the test. "For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." A few more palace lessons we have before I can move on. I couldn't move to the promised land because there's some palace lessons we need. I feel we really may need them. I really want us to hear them. Have you ever been in a pit or a pot in the prison? Ever? So I am the church, and I have been. We feel, sometimes when you're in those places, when you're in a low, terrible place, you may feel this way. I just want to get out of it and get something better, right? Is that natural? When you're in a trial, like, you know, my goal is to get out of this trial and get to the palace, baby. Right? Why am I doing four jobs and breaking my neck and doing this? Why? Because I got a palace coming up, right? I can't wait to not do four jobs anymore. Or I can't wait to do this job no more. I can't wait. I don't have to do that job no more. I'm only doing that job to get to this job so I can do that job. Ever have that? Like, gimme, you know? So we feel the goal sometimes is just to get out of the trial and get to the palace. And we do things like this that we should. We declare the word of God with things like this. I rule and reign with Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yep. I am the head and not the tail. I am a child of the King, right? And the palaces of earth are fantastic that we're talking about there in those moments. We're trying to grab a hold of something from God, and we're trying to stand in what he has given us authority and be part of that. But honestly, the palaces of earth, though fantastic, are not the goal. The fulfilling of the promise, hear this too, the fulfilling of the promise of the dream of God, that really is the goal. The dreams of God go way beyond earthly promises, though. We get stuck there, right? Here's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is for us and the people he loves to not just achieve the palaces of power and blessing, or even the promises of God. It's for all of us forever to be in paradise. And to take as many people there as we can. The problem is we don't learn from our pits and our pots and our prisons, and then we can't get to the palaces where we're supposed to impact a lot of people. And then we don't learn from our palace experience. We do that real bad. We wonder why people never make it to the promises of God. And if they don't make it to the promises of God, how are they ever going to make it to paradise?
Come on.
So we got to scale ourselves back to some lessons that we're going to learn from the palace today. I'm going to slow roll it as best I can. I know March Madness is going on. I am excited. I was going to try to end this series, but it's going to be not possible today. So this is growing your Joe, the process to progress, right? Say, keep growing, Joe.
Keep growing, Joe.
Say, keep growing. Genesis 41, 46. Now Joseph had been in Egypt 13 years and was 30 years old. You know, at that moment, when people turn 30, there's this kind of cultural expectation. It's a reasonable expectation that that person would be mostly mature-ish by then. Anybody? When you hear someone's 30, you know, and you think, you got in trouble for what? You were doing what with your friends?
Yeah.
How old are you, man?
Yeah.
Right? If they're 30, you go, dude, right? If they're in their 20s, you still go, oh, I was in my 20s. You should grow up, though, and I grew up, and I grew up when I was 22, but you got a bunch of in their 20s, so we'll just keep praying. But once they hit 30, you go, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit? Okay, a little bit. You know what's really interesting, too, is Jesus was released into his ministry in his 30s. Well, that's back up. We'll do something else. Jojo was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph departed from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt performing his duties. Whew. What was his duties? Remember last week we just ruled the palace, everything. But everything that Pharaoh says or does, the only one who's more powerful in all the world other than Pharaoh is him. He's second command of the largest kingdom in the world at the time. And he's got it right at his fingertips. And in verse 39, it's not there. It says he stored up grain in great abundance and like the sand of the sea. And he couldn't even stop counting it. Couldn't even be measured. Man, he's a VIP and he's doing his job. Right? He's doing his job. See,
do your job.
Say, do your job.
Job.
Kind of look at the neighbor next to you nicely and smile and go, do your job. It's important. Do your job. Look the other side. It's important. Right? Your job's important. Sometimes when things are good, we think, could we get a little soft? When things are good, sometimes we think we're healed from the past.
Oh, say that again.
Sometimes when things are good, we think we're healed from the past. But most of the time, we're just suppressing it. Or we act as if we're healed up. Oh, things are going good. Can you tell God's blessed me? I'm so healed up. I forgot that. That even happened to me. But it's so good when God pokes at those spots that we thought were healed up. Right? To prove that they ain't healed up. They're important, right? Genesis 41, 50 through 52. Now, two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine came. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On, bore to him, this guy, check it out. Joseph named him the firstborn Manasseh. Joey the VIP. He said, God has made me forget. Say, uh-huh. Yeah. Causing you to forget. If you really want to forget, why you name him that? You know, I want to call this kid catastrophe in my life. Because the Lord has delivered me from catastrophe. Ever walk, ever just run into someone who said they'd forgotten all about it?
Yeah.
Maybe someone you did something to them, and they're like, oh, I forgot all about it. Or someone else did something to them and said, oh, I got saved, and God did this, and I forgot all about it. Right? But the more you talk to them about it, it seems like they really haven't forgot about it. They told you all about it, so obviously they ain't forgot about it. Right? It says, he's caused me to forget all my trouble and hardship and the sorrow of loss of my father's household. See, it don't sound like you're forgetting, Joe. Every time you see that, is that you're remembering? And I named him this because I have a lot of hardship. I have a lot of sorrow and a lot of loss, and I miss my father's house. Every time I see the kid, I think about that. But I've forgotten all about it, to be honest with you. And then he named his second son Ephraim, fruitfulness. Personal love, that one. Yeah. Big fan, Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful and very successful. Say, God's the source.
Mm-hmm.
And his blessings sure help our situations, don't they? When you're going through a rough situation, when God drops a blessing, you go, oh, thank you, Jasmine. I mean, thank you, Lord. Right? He's son somebody. Thank you, pigeon removers. Appreciate you. Thank you, those who come and clean windows. Thank you. What a blessing in the midst of my storm. Right? God has caused me to be fruitful and very successful. Successful in the land of my suffering. Yep, this is what he's saying. This place that you see that I'm so blessed in, it still reminds me of sufferings. Forgetting, here we go, all the crap done to us completely. Just don't remember that, huh? It's really hard to do. It is. Instead of forget, aim to forgive. Forgive is more realistic than forget. Forgive is more profitable than forget. Forgive is more profitable than forget. Forgive is more profitable than forget. Because forget's almost impossible without a brain injury. But check it out. There's a blessing in passing all the tests. There's a blessing in passing all the tests that impacts other people than just our lives. And sometimes you get caught in the palace of your blessing and you forget it's supposed to be for other people. General impact can come from one obedient act of one of God's servants. Generational impact can happen from one obedient step for one of God's servants. Generational change can happen. Don't tell me. Read Abraham. Yeah, read about Joseph. Why don't you take a peek at Jesus? He'll change generations. Yeah, Genesis 41. 53 through 57. When the 7 years of plenty had come, remember the dream about, hey, we're going to have 7 years of plenty, these fat, wonderful cows get chowed down by these crazy post-apocalyptic cows, and it's going to be trouble, and interprets the dream as, you know. So when the 7 years of plenty had come to an end in the land of Egypt, the 7 years of famine began. They began to come, just as Joseph said they would. The famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt, there was bread, food. Say facts. And here's a fact. When there is no food, you go anywhere to get it. So I will never eat with a Raiders fan. If you ain't eating in 3 days, you will be thanking the Raiders fan for a crispy crumb cake. I pick on Raiders fans because they can take it. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. And Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What? Yeah. I love that move by Pharaoh. Because sometimes we go, what are we going to do about this? I'll go see Nick and Jasmine. Yeah. Why? Because they're in charge of that. All that you see, you are second in command of all the picnic world. Be blessed and take over. I love doing that. Right? What about women's ministry? We're going to have this guy go, aha! Let me send you to charity. Why? Be blessed. She's taken over. Go see her. There's a famine in your life. Woman, go! I love it. Go to Joseph. And then this. Do whatever he says to you. Say this. Joe has power in the palace. Do whatever Joe says. All the land. When the famine was spread all over the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses, and he sold surplus grain to the Egyptians. He's thrifty, too. And I said, well, you mean there's a famine? Aren't we the government? Just give us stuff? I'm not going to touch it, but I'm saying, hey, you got to learn to work. Joe learned to work. So he learned how important. I'm just saying these are lessons Joe learned. He wants people to learn, if you don't work, you don't eat lots of times. So get to work and I'll get to eating. Just helping. Here we go. The famine was spread all over every place. Joseph sold the grain to the Egyptians. And the famine grew even extremely severe in the land of Egypt. And the people of all the countries came to Egypt. Well, they came to Joseph. All the countries came to Joseph to buy grain because the famine was severe all over the known earth. So the known earth at that time in famine. And the boy from the pit and the pot and the prison is now VIP of the palace and actually puts him VIP of the world. And the world's got to come to him. I hope he learned some lessons or he's going to be a terrible tyrant dictator. Say, Joe's got the power. Say, power's not the goal. Sometimes that's our goal. I can't wait to get the power. Woo, if I had the power, I'd run the church differently. I'd be powerful. We would do this and we would do that. And this is the outreach and this is what we do. If I were a rich man, I'd bitty, 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 bum. Right? Yeah. You do a lot of stuff. Power's not the goal.
Yep.
Pit, pot, prison, palace all had lessons for little Joe to grow up. It was all about little Joe growing up. Right? All the lessons were intended to mature him. A mature Joe into a godly, responsible, wise, and respected leader. A leader who will save God's people from famine. Not exact revenge. He's got to learn that one yet. Not get even Stephen for everything that's ever been done to him. That's not how the mature act. See, all the lessons.
All the lessons.
We're going to need to know them. And we're going to need to learn how to apply them. So I couldn't get past the palace. I was stuck there for a minute. I tried to this week. We or they, us, need to pass. And at this time in history, God was shifting the whole earth in many ways. Or that time in history. I don't know which time in history.
Yeah.
But I know I feel that in our current status of history.
Yeah.
Earth shifting, you feel that? Power grid shifting. History books are being rewritten on a regular basis. So, Joe, why the pit, why the pot, why the prison? Why did he have to go through that? What did God want from him? These are three things, if you're taking notes, these are three things God wanted. He wanted Joe in the right place. He wanted Joe with the right heart, and he wanted Joe with the right training. He wanted Joe in the right place. Hey, I know it's going to suck, this pit, pot, prison. Your brothers are a bunch of tools. We're going to deal with them later. And you also are pretty arrogant, so I got to get you so many. But at the end of the day, dude, I can't tell you, but I got to take you to Egypt. I just got to take you through the process. Why are you taking me to Egypt? I'm like, oh, you're fussing. I hate Egypt, and there are enemies. Egypt is hot, and the camel smell. Not only that, you got to be in the prison for the prison. Oh, my goodness. And you killed me back in the pit. Shh, Joe. I'm trying to grow you up. Why? I'm trying to get you in the right place. The whole world's coming to that place. So stop fussing. I'm trying to get you there. Okay? Why else am I there, Lord? Because I need your heart's not really right, Joe, because you like to show off your coat. Whenever God blesses you, like, hoodie bitty bitty bum, doody 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 Facebook. Right? It's like, dude, I need your heart to be worked on. And then I need you with the right training because you didn't even really do a good job working for your dad. You know, so. Say ears to hear.
Ears to hear.
Yeah, ears to hear. Genesis 42, 1 through 5. Now when Israel learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, I love this. Why are you staring at one another in bewilderment and not taking action? Man, that's cold, Dad. You know, like, it's basically saying, what are you bozos doing? We're starving. You're just standing around playing with your Rubik's Cubes. You know, I don't know. He said, I have heard that. He said, I'm old and I don't go anywhere. And I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some grain for us so that we may live and not die. Okay? So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's younger brother, with his brothers. For he said, I'm afraid that some harm or injury may come to him. He doubts his son's character a little bit. He has a reason to. Wonder about your past lack of responsibility, man. I gave you a job, you didn't do a job, and now you want another job? I gave you something precious, you came back with it destroyed, and now you want a what? No. Now you're going to have to prove yourself. Well, I'll prove myself. I'll go someplace else and keep on stepping. Because you're not going to be where God needs you to be with the right heart, with the right training, if that's your tude. Right. And then I wonder, yes, I do, I wonder, is he having some PTSD? What? You want to take all y'all? No. I ain't driving up there anymore with a bus. Nope. Not doing it. We're finding another mode of transportation for the youth to do something this time. Call it what you will, but it has a route right there. I'm being honest. So the sons of Israel came to Egypt to buy grain, along with the others who were coming, for famine was in the land of Canaan also. Genesis 42:6. Now Joseph was the ruler over the land, and he was the one who sold grain to all the people of the land, who and Joseph's half-brothers came and bowed down before him. Bowed with their faces to the ground. Now, God did say that was going to happen. And when God says stuff's going to happen, it is going to happen. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. I bet he did. I bet they are burned in the images of his mind. I'm not saying this has happened. This is Pastor Sean just projecting Joseph Prison's life. This is not the scriptures. This is me goofing off. Are you ready? I could see this. Joseph in the prison cell going, Simeon. We dig that name in there. Simeon who? I curse you. Judah. Judah who? I curse you. I don't know. I don't know. But he recognized them right off the bat. Oh, I bet you recognize someone. I could name probably your junior high rival right now. And I have to say their name. You always went, I have to say their name. Christian went, that guy? What, Pastor Alice, what? We bring his name up in here, right? Joseph recognized his brothers, but hiding his identity, he treated them as strangers, and he spoke harshly to them. Say this, guess he didn't forget. I guess he didn't forget, Harold. No, I don't think so. He says this. He gets harsh with them. He said to them, where have you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Joseph, it says, remembered. Oh, Joseph, you're kidding yourself. You thought you were healed up because you're doing well now. You passed a bunch of tests. You're a better father. You're a better husband. You're better all these things. You've done all this work. You're doing good now. That abuse in my past didn't really happen. I forgot all about it because I'm doing so good. Look at my blessings. God said, you haven't forgot all about it. And for that to take place, you don't need to forget about it. You need to forgive because forgiveness is going to change your nation. That's another message. I'm just talking to them, not us. We're just riding through. This is like a documentary. You came to church, man, we're getting a history lesson today. Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed about them. And he said to them, hey, guys, check it out, though. Hey, guys, I'm living large. He could have joked up like that, right? Hey, guys, look at me, VIP, right? I forgot all about the past. Let's hug it out. What's up? Good to see you, fellas. If you forgot about it, Right? And you're living in the palace. You're not going to prove nothing to these scrungy little mangy dog brothers come crawling into your house for grain. Because you're all that. And if you forgot about it, like, bro, of course you could have a sandwich. Where's dad? That's not what happened here. So apparently he didn't forget. He says this. You are spies and have come with a malicious purpose. Well, he's the malicious purpose he remembers. To observe the undefended parts of our land. But they said to him, no, my lord. Oh, I bet that felt good. Would you say that again? I didn't know my what? Uh-huh, that's right. No, my lord, for your servants have... Oh, what are you? You're my servants. Bow again. Yeah, hold up. I love the breeze it makes when you bow down. No, my lord, your servants have only come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Say that. We are all the sons of one man. We are all the sons of one man. It says, we are honest men. Don't say it. That could be a hot button for Joe. You might have been like, folks, one man, he got it because, okay, my dad, you remember my dad? Okay, that's good. That's good. I can maybe give you guys food. We are honest men. Oh, no, you're not. I didn't forget that. Didn't forget anything about that. Honest man, I should just slap you, you know? We are honest. Your servants are not spies. Yet he said to them, no. No, you have come to see the undefended parts of our land. But they said to him, your servants are 12 brothers in all, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Please listen. Two ears, one mouth, Pharaoh, please. VIP of Pharaoh. Please listen. The youngest is with our father today, and one is no longer alive. But also, that's some unsolicited advice. I have to say that. So at least you're... Okay, you're being honest about that. Used to be 12 of us. Mm-hmm. The pit, the pot, the prison, the palace all have tests. Even when we're in the palace, there's tests. When things are rolling good in your life, there are tests. Sometimes those tests are bigger than the prison tests. Yeah. And some of those tests, they can come around full circle again, especially to some immature brothers. He wonders, hey, have they grown themselves up? Maybe Joe's in another test too here. Will powerful Joe crush them or will he yield to God's dream? Genesis 42, 14. Joseph said to them, it is as I have said, you are spies. In this way, you shall be tested. Say tested. Joe's like, let the trials begin, you know? He's the game maker. Say, got to pass the test. I had to pass the test, boys, and so do you. You know what you sowed? You're about to reap. Why? Because I'm the VIP. I'm about to do it. Tested by the life of Pharaoh. What? He said, by the life of Pharaoh, you're going to go through a test. But that means I can't swear about anything higher in this land. When I give my word to it, if I don't go through it, they'll cut my head off. You're going to do this. You shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you back home and let him bring your brother here while the rest of you remain confined. See, that's a little like prison. I'm going to give you guys a speed test. I'm taking you right to prison. You're going to miss your pit and your pot. I'm putting you right there. Remain confined. I think he wants them to feel, do you feel like I do? You know, I feel a little Peter Frampton in there. Do you feel like I do? No. So the words, so that your words may be, say, tested. Whether there is any truth in you. The truth must be found in us. And that's a problem sometimes when we go through tests and trials, right? Is the truth found in us? See whether there's any truth in you. Say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, right? And he wants to live in us. So people are going to be testing that all the time. All the time. Is he in you? Tested and tried, is he in you? It says, or else by the life of Pharaoh, you'll be spies. And Joseph put them all in prison for 3 days. Say, pass the test, boys. Here's a note to Joe. Don't overreact, Joe. Go hear from God. When your enemy's delivered into your hand, you think, here it is. This is the smackdown I've been waiting for. I don't know if you ever had that experience. Yeah. If you ever got to a place where you go, I can smack them down now. I've been waiting. It's a rare moment. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that. Joe has right here. And he has the power to do it, and he's justified in smacking them down. But I'm going to ask Joseph, go pray. Remember, please, you can still grow, Joseph. You're all the sons of one father. You got to remember that. We're all the sons of one father. We got to pass the test. Right? Genesis 42, 18 through 21. Now Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and you may live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in the palace here in prison. I'm wondering if you guess how envious and jealous they're going to be, how selfish they're going to be right here. This little test. Remember, they're pretty selfish, pretty envious, pretty jealous. So he says, you know, let one of you stay here in prison. The rest can go. Who are you going to throw in the pit this time, guys? Who are you throwing in the prison cell? Which brother, how are y'all going to turn on now? Who are you going to turn on now? Because every church you go to, you bite back somebody. Who are you going to turn on now? Every place you go, this happens. Who are you going to turn on now? You always turn on somebody. I watched you guys growing up. Oh, this is going to be great. Who are you going to turn on? It says, but as for the rest of you, carry on grain for the famine to your households. Bring your youngest brother to me. Bring your youngest brother to me so that your words will be verified. And here's another part. And you'll not die. And they did so. And they said to one another, truly we are guilty. We are guilty of regarding our brother Joseph. Because we saw the distress and the anguish of his soul, and we pleaded, as he pleaded for us to let him go. Yet we would not listen to his cry. Yet we would not listen to his cry. We would not listen to his cry. So this distress and anguish has come on us. Blessing and sowing and reaping is about to happen here. It's a combo test, right? But you got to own your own sin. It wasn't about anybody right there going, that's on us. I did that to my brother. Straight up. I can package it any way you want to, but I caused him to stumble and fall into a pit. That's on me. A mature accept their part, and they start to change themselves. Yeah. That's free counseling. You don't have to pay me $125 an hour to come to that. You just saved yourself money this morning. Genesis 42:22. Reuben answered them, did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy? And you wouldn't listen. Now the accounting for his blood is required of us. We are guilty of his death. Check it out. They didn't know that Joseph understood their conversation because he spoke to them through an interpreter. Remember, he's all Egypt out, you know. He's got probably the eye makeup. He's got the little towel on his head, you know, blinged out gold. He's got the latest sandals Nike makes. I don't know. They didn't know. He turned away from his brothers and left the room and wept. Well, there's a breakthrough coming. He's not so hard in that moment. He's triggered. You know what to do with those feelings. Ever get that moment? I don't know what to do with those feelings right now. I'm conflicted because I came here to smack you, but now I don't know what to do. Then he returned and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them. Check this out. Power move. He took Simeon from them and bound him in front of them to be kept as a hostage in Egypt. Say test. So Joseph gave orders privately that their bags be filled, and I'll speed through this little part. He puts money in their bags, and he gives stuff back to them in the grain, and everything's back in there, right? And he's like, yeah, you guys can leave. All the money that you paid for, he stuck it in their sacks and didn't tell them about it, right? And then they get to a place where they open their sacks up, right? And they said, my money's been returned to me. It's here in my sack. And it says their heart sank. Why? At the bottom of that verse, it says this. What is this that God has done to us? Like, our brother's back in jail, all bound up. We got to bring our little brother back. Our father's only remembrance of little brother. And I got one in prison bound up, and this guy's a real jerk that he's with. He's in, you know, if you don't, this is crazy. And we brought this on ourselves. And honestly, what has God done to us? You better seek God, not blame him. When you're in the middle of the task, blaming God is only going to make that task go a whole lot longer. Because you're blaming the only source you got to get out. And we do, though. All the time. You're in the test now, boys. Have you grown up and you matured? What's your character like now? I haven't seen you for 13 years. Let's see. Genesis 42, 29. When they came to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, they told him everything that happened to them. In verse 36. Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me by causing me the loss of my children. What? That hurts to hear when we've done something. Especially when we know we did lose our father's kids sometimes because of our selfishness. Maybe as many people as I got a chance maybe to lead to Jesus, I bet I turned some away when I was being real selfish. And some got turned away offended because that's their own issue. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I did my best, Jesus, I got. But it'd be pretty arrogant to think that I didn't turn somebody away. So I am the church. Yeah. We're a carbon copy. We're not him, right? It says, Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and you would take Benjamin from me? All these things are working against me. You know, Dad says, no way. I don't trust your character. I don't trust your track record, guys. No, I'm not doing that. You lost my favorite son, and I send you to Egypt to get food, and you come back another brother low, and you want to take this guy? Strike three, you out. I'm getting another courier service. I'm calling Amazon to get our grain. Not you. Right? Not happening. Dad says, no. I got trauma over this. Right? I can't believe God is punishing me. His servant. I've been obedient. Ever feel that way? I must blame God because I can't see the big picture sometimes. I can't see God's moving and orchestrating throughout time, actions and counteractions to launch me into a place that I can actually take people from Egypt into the promised land. And all I can see is my woe and my brother's injury to me. God said, I'm trying to mature you. Why, Joe? Because I need you to lead my people. It's an important lesson for Joseph, too. And here's a thing. If you didn't know about God, he's a big picture guy. He is a real big picture guy. You know, that's what he does. Genesis 42, 1 through 7. Now, the famine was very severe in the land of Canaan. And it happened when the families of Jacob's sons had finished eating all the grain which they had bought. Their father said to them, go buy us a little more food. But Judah says to him, the man, say the man. The man representing Pharaoh solemnly and sternly warned us, saying, you will not see my face again unless your brother's with you. So, if you will send our brother with us, we'll go to Egypt and buy food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down there. For the man, say the man said to us, you will not see my face unless your brother's with you. And Israel, Jacob said, why do you treat me so badly by telling me the man that your brother has your brother? I can't believe this. He's like, dude, why are you doing this to me? And they said, the man asked us straightforward questions. We didn't like offer it up. He asked us straightforward questions about ourselves and our relatives. And he said, is your father still alive? Have you any brothers? And we answered him accordingly. The boys are learning to be honest. If they hadn't been honest, Joe might have crushed him right then and there. If he didn't say, hey, my father's and my brother's, and start talking about what they did dirty and he didn't know, If they just said and made up a bunch of lies like normal, he might have just snuffed them right out. Their character of honesty saved him in that moment, even in a harsh time. How could we possibly know that you would say, bring our brother down to Egypt? Genesis 43, 8 through 9. Judah said to his father, send the young man with me. We'll get up and go and buy food so that we may live and not die. It'll be well with our little ones. I'll be security for him. You may hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and place him safely before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. He's grown up. He's growing up a little bit. He said, I'm going to bear what's my brother's responsibility. If you, Dad, I got it. Take everything if I don't fulfill my word. He's not pushing anybody to the pit. He's choosing to go in there himself if he has to. He's growing up. Genesis 43:15 says the men took the present. So I skipped that verse. Joseph's dad loads everybody down. Says, take this stuff to Pharaoh. Give him double the money. And when Benjamin's there, you know, and he's trying to like butter up Joseph. You know, ever get like a bunch of gifts ahead of time before one of your kids comes? When they're little? Hey, Dad. Before you go in the house, Dad, I made your favorite lunch, and there's lemonade at the table, and you're looking through the window, and you see like the vase tipped over, you know, and there's a little bit of stain in the cup. And also, Dad, tonight, a foot rub is coming just for you, honestly, because I love you, and you're awesome, you know. So this is what Jacob's kind of doing. Say, hey, go down, son, some more money. Actually, more money, more things, just, yeah. And just he'll barely notice your little brother there because we're going to pack him full of goodness, you know. We fast forward and Joseph weeps privately at seeing Benjamin. But the guys are nervous because they seem to be blessed and they're being entertained. And they get back like, wow, this guy is really into us. We did what we got, you know. It says in Genesis, actually 43:34, it says, Joseph drank and hung out with them. They're kicking it. Prince of Egypt and the lowly Hebrews were just busting a move together. Ah, glad we obeyed God and just did that. Dad's going to be so happy. Genesis 44. The next day, he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks, oh no, with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in the mouth of his sack. Put my personal cup of silver there, and put it in the mouth of the youngest persons with his grain. Oh, man. Joseph, what are you doing? There's a test coming. And the steward did as Joseph told him. And as soon as the morning light had come, the men were sent away and their donkeys, and they left the city. And not far away, Joseph said to his steward, get up and follow after the men and overtake them and say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is this not my Lord's drinking cup, the one he used for divination? It's a powerful cup. He sees the future with that cup. You have done a great and unforgivable wrong in doing this. So the steward overtook them and said these words to them. And they said, why does my Lord speak these things to us? Please remember the money which were found in the mouths of our sacks. We brought it back to you. It's like that. We wouldn't steal silver or gold from our master's house. With whomever your servants finds the cup is found, let him die then, because we don't have it. And the rest of us will be slaves. They're confident. We didn't do it. I've been super confident before, and I lost a team in the final four. Man, they're going to make it. They didn't make it. I've been confident. I'm going to hit this shot, and send us in overtime. Oh, I never missed that shot. Reverend Early came this week, and he reminded me. We must have played basketball 600 times. And this is what he said. He goes, remember that time I beat you? I honestly didn't remember. Yeah, remember I was just throwing them up for half court. They're saying, I don't remember. He's like, I remember. So first, one of the first thing I remember that one, you know. And the steward said, what? So if I find someone with a cup, I can kill him and the rest of you will be slaves? Let it be as you say. The one whom the cup is found will be my slave, but the rest of you shall be blameless. Now I'm going to merge these two verses for time's sake. Genesis 44:12 through 16, and then I'm going to bop down to 32 through 34. I'm going to do it as smooth as I can. The steward searched, beginning with the eldest son, ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes in grief, and each man had loaded his donkey grain. They returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. And Joseph spoke harshly to them. What is this thing you have done? Do you not realize that such a man as I can indeed practice divination and foretell everything you do without the knowledge of it? So Judah said, he's just puffing himself way up. Not only am I the vice president of Egypt, I can see the future in everything you do. Yeah, I'm a cell phone in your pocket, bro. And Judah said, what can we say to my Lord? What can we reply? Or how can we clear ourselves? Since God has exposed the sin and guilt of your servants. Wow, he's like, we know why this is happening. We got some unconfessed sin. Busted our brother up. And we've been actually not the character sons of the one father that we should be. He says, behold, we are my Lord's slaves, the rest of us, as well as the one who has the cup. For your servant became security for the young man to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant Judah remain here instead of the youth. I'll be slave to my Lord. Oh, wow. These guys are stepping up one left and right, man. And let the young man go home with his brothers. How can I go to my father if the young man's not with me? For fear that I would see the tragedy that would have overtaken my elderly father if Benjamin would not come. He's like, you're going to kill my dad. Say, wow. These arrogant, selfish, jealous, envious boys have grown up. It can happen. Ever been envious, jealous boy? Yeah, well, good call. They seem to have learned some things, right? They're less self-focused. They could have just said, oh, sorry, sucks, Benjamin. Yeah. You know what grown-ups do? They're more self-sacrificing. Growing up is more caring about their father's heart than their own. Growing up is about being responsible for your own disobedience and obedience. Chapter 44, I'm going to skip it. It makes him squirm, man. He's testing, he's poking, he's turning up the boiling pot. Right, he's trying to get them to crack. Chapter 45. Then Joseph could not control himself any longer. In front of all those who attended him, he called out, have everyone leave the room. So no man stood there when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And Joseph wept out loud. And all the Egyptians who had left heard it. And the household of Pharaoh heard about it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless, for they were stunned and dismayed that they were in Joseph's presence. And because now they're really wondering, I wonder. You're revealing yourself, but you were just treating us real harshly, and now you're saying, aha, it's Joseph. I'm now about to crush it. I just want to look into my eyes. I want that enemy. I don't want anybody else to take that guy out. I want to wrestle him in the finals. Why? I want him to look into my eyes as he's shedding the tears. I'm cranking on him. I want to look into his, so that I don't know what their fear might be, but they says they stood there, speechless and dismayed. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. Say, God's on the move. And they approached him and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. Wow, he didn't forget, but boy, it sounds like he's forgiven. Do not be distressed or even angry with yourselves because you sold me there. Say, way to grow, Joe.
Way to grow.
For God sent me ahead of you to save life. I had to learn some lessons. I was an arrogant kid with a calling from God in my life to do something, and he had to take me through a whole bunch of pit, pot, prison, and power. And here I am before you. God sent me ahead of you to save life and to preserve our family. Wow. I didn't see that coming back when I was really mad writing your name to me on the wall. You know? Who'd have thunk? One man's lesson in obedience preserved a family and a nation. Man. One man's lesson in obedience preserved his family and a nation. The people of Israel thrive and grow and they develop into this giant nation, right? We're familiar with them today. And they do it all under the skies of Egypt. And they prosper. And they settled in the land of the palace. God never told them to do that. Why? They want to settle in goodness. I want to settle in goodness. I'd like to isolate myself and insulate myself from any trauma or drama for the rest of my life. I'd like to live in a pair of cut-off shorts. Put the world away for a minute. The people camped out in the palace. So eventually hard times had to come to motivate them to leave it all so they could go to the promised land with the plan of God, right? And to open paradise. See, here's the thing. And Pastor, could you come up for a second? I want to close here. Here's the thing. The plan of God was to establish them in the promised land, right? That was the original thing. And they camped out in the palace. And we have Moses, remember? Oh, and he leads them out. And it's great. But even the promised land wasn't the end target. The promised land was going to present the way to paradise. He said, I'm going to save you and make you a blessed people. Why? Because the world needs a Messiah. And it's not about you living up in the palace for 400 years of palace living. Aren't we blessed by God? We are Israel. Bitty, 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 bum. We are the church of God. And he says, it's not about that. It's not about all that. Well, I know. I got to fulfill the promise because I had a dream. And God said I was going to be this and God said I was going to be that. Yeah, if God said it, follow the dream and do what God asked you to do. But don't camp even in that moment. That's your palace moment. But the reason that you're called to the palace is to get people to the promised land. To show them what God can do with a yielded life. And show them the signs and wonders in your life as you follow God. And their hope, the hope is that we get them beyond the promises that they see in our lives. And we're supposed to get them to paradise. The obedience of one man opened the door for us to get to paradise. The way, the truth, the life. So if you've been in a pit, or you've been in a pot, and you feel like you've been in a prison, or maybe you've been so fortunate to realize we've actually lived in a palace compared to most people. I bet either you, almost anyone in Ukraine probably trained life with you right now. Whenever you get fussy, just think about the Ukraine. Or I'll send you third world pictures of Haiti. Right? Or I'll maybe take a snapshot of the people who don't know Jesus who live right next door to you and see the hell they go through all the time. And you'll go, God, you've given me a palace. You've given me a palace. I live in the United States. I'm in a palace. I live amongst the 10% population in the world. You put me in a palace so I can declare the goodness of God. Not just so you can declare the goodness of God. You're supposed to be taking people to paradise. Don't camp in the palace. There's lessons there. There's goodness there to be enjoyed. Go ahead and stand. Father, whatever pit experiences some of us find ourselves in, I thank you that you make a way out and you train us. And Lord, if some of us are in a temptation place and we're trying to be the very best we can be and we feel like the boiling pressure around us is going to cause us to crack. And there are pastors and men of God that just recently have come and, Father, on my phone line, good men, good body of Christ, Father, protect them in the pot. And Lord, when they unjustly feel imprisoned from their past because they just can't seem to forget, and it seems to be creating such a space in their hearts and mind, they don't feel like they can be delivered from that place. Lord, I'm going to ask them today to stop trying to forget. And I'm asking right now where anybody's trapped in a prison of unforgiveness, that today you would leave it on the altar, put your hands to God, whatever you need to do, and go, I forgive today, Lord. I forgive because I'm not staying in this prison any longer. I'm not going to ruin my palace experience. There are brothers in future that needs to get to the promised land. And Lord, use our lives to bring more people to paradise. Infuse us with that one thought. We would take all the lessons we've ever learned from you. We'd put them to use this year to get people to paradise. Heal us, lead us, and watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name.